a typical scenario coming from a family law perspective. I'm going to pose it to you three. So in family law, separation isn't a day. It's often something that occurs over the course of time. Spouses have issues. Their marriage is failing. They are having arguments. And we live in an era now where there's global information. And so before people even speak to lawyers, they often know to some extent what some of their legal rights are. And one item of knowledge that often people have, specifically men in today's era, is that if they leave the home, they might be jeopardizing their family law rights. So they might actually be living separate and apart under the same roof, while the situation at home is very toxic. And they learn that should they, one of them, leave the home, their rights to custody, their rights vis-a-vis, say, support or exclusive possession might be jeopardized. So the situation at home is difficult. And then along comes what is not uncommon, an altercation. And that altercation might turn to being slightly physical. I use the word slightly. And then it's a slippery slope, following what you say, Brian, with respect to mandatory charge policies, and certainly, Justice Pugsley, what you've come to see before your appointment to the bench, but certainly in your involvement in Shaw, is the slippery slope of how a criminal charge could now cause the family law rights to be significantly polarized between the two sides. So how do we as counsel, and I say counsel both criminal and family, because it's not uncommon for the criminal lawyer to be retained to say to the client, well, your family lawyer simply needs to go to court and get an order giving you access. And the family lawyer says to the client, but your criminal lawyer needs to go to criminal court to vary the bail terms. And Helen, for example, in your introduction, you talked about how some of the standard terms might be access through a third party, mutually agreeable third party or family court order. We live in a society right now of scarce judicial resources, and in the family law side, we don't just show up to court tomorrow morning and get an access order. There's a process which could take us months into the future. Some judges don't even think that the right to see the children falls within the category of urgency that would necessitate what would otherwise be called a motion before a case conference, which could take us months into the future, while the children may not necessarily be having access to that alleged abuser. So how do criminal and family counsel somehow approach this problem in Ontario with our current legislation, with the mandatory charge policies, and with the current family law rules and this judicial scenario that we currently have? What are your thoughts on what the sequence of events are from the date of the charge?